Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's your topical devotion here on 91.5 FM and on our podcast located at ourlighthouse.net. That is the Lighthouse Christian Church website, and you can go there and connect with us and listen to the program anytime, anywhere, anything you want to do, you know, especially when you're working out at the gym, all you buff people, you need to be listening, okay? So listen, we're just so excited to have a special guest returning. We had Patty Wilson on, and she's back again. We're going to be talking about another topic with her, and Patty, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Yeah, so glad to have you here at Turn the Light On, and if you didn't catch the previous show that we've done together, Patty is a longtime friend. We've done ministry together. We've done life together forever, for 30-plus years. Yeah. We've known each other and been involved in ministry together. She's done a lot of powerful women's ministry, and she's an intense prayer intercessor, and I love that about her. And she shared a little bit of her testimony on the previous program. If you didn't get to catch that, you should go back and listen to that. It was really good. But Patty, I just wanted to once again welcome you to the program, and you brought another topic, because I always like for the co-host to bring the topics, and then we kind of run with those. And so what are you bringing to the table today? What do you want to talk about?
Talk a little bit about waiting and what to waiting. Do while you're waiting, because I've spent a lot of time waiting.
You have?
Yes.
None of the rest of us are.
No.
You know, we're all patient people, though, out here in the world.
No.
Each and every person that's listening, I'm sure they are just so patient, willing to wait, willing to just wait for that perfect moment when God's ready to move. They're not in a hurry for anything out there.
No, no.
Can you tell I'm being facetious right
yes,
now?
Yes, and you even mentioned before.
Hate to wait.
Yeah, getting ahead of God. We can get ahead of God, or we can drag behind God when He's trying to pull us forward.
You know, have you ever, like, gone to Disney in the middle of summer or gone to a theme park in the middle of the summer? It's like everybody's out of school, and it's like, I want to ride this ride, and it's going to last about 4 minutes, tops, maybe even less. And I wait in line for 2.5 hours.
Oh
no, 40 minutes? Where are you?
Well, I haven't been.
You haven't been in a while, girl.
I gave up years ago.
I'm telling you, man, they got little Mr. fans to keep you from passing out in the heat and everything. And, you know, you just walk up and the sign says 2 hour wait. And, you know,
Lord.
And people still get in the line.
Not
I'm like,
me.
No way, we're going to keep moving. We're going to go do something else. But then you get to the next one and you got to wait there.
No.
So I think that it's very important for us to know and recognize what to do in those moments while we're waiting. Because when I get into those lines at the theme park, I'm like purposeful in that line. I'm looking at the people around me. I'm saying, hey, you know what? Who am I ministering to today?
Exactly.
Who am I talking to?
Yep.
Who is behind me? Who's in front of me? Who am I going to keep seeing directly across the rail in the next queue line?
Come
over?
On.
And I will begin to communicate and dialogue with people and start to evangelize and do all kinds of things. So I think it's important that we have purpose in our waiting and in our moments. So why don't you start us out? I think you had like a little story or something you wanted to,
excuse me,
to read.
Yeah, I had a devotion, and this kind of really hit to home.
It sums it up?
Yeah, from May 2nd, but through the whole month of May, I kept going back and reading
this
over and over again.
It's one of those that grips you,
grabs
you.
Yeah, you know God is speaking to you when, you know, it keeps coming back to your mind. Farmers who wait never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Waiting for perfect conditions will mean waiting for perfect conditions will mean inactivity. And I've been there. I think most of us have been there before. You're waiting, you're not seeing it, so you just do nothing. But I want to talk about what we do while we're in the waiting.
Sure.
There, you know, it doesn't mean inactivity. This practice, practical insight, is especially applicable to our spiritual life. If we wait for the perfect time or place for personal Bible reading, we will never begin. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
If we wait for the perfect church, we will never join.
Right.
If we wait for the perfect ministry, we will never serve.
That's true.
And I mean, I know
this
many,
is good. Yeah,
yeah, people.
Hope
that
you guys
are
listening out there, because you know this is good. Keep going.
Yeah, and
it's kind of like waiting, you know, till the perfect time to have a kid. You'll never have one.
Exactly. Right.
Oh, we gotta have enough money. Oh, we gotta have the right house. We gotta have the right car. Trust me, it all works out.
It does. It always works out. So
keep going, though. I interrupted.
We need to take steps spiritually. We don't wait for conditions that may never exist. Waiting does not mean inactivity. We have to do something.
Exactly.
And I remember years ago, God spoke to my heart, and he said, there's safety in activity. It keeps us from falling away.
Right.
And then I found myself years later in that place.
Sure.
Of inactivity was causing me to fall away because I really didn't have anything to do. I didn't have a purpose. And I thought about all the times when I first felt the call of God on my life and the sense of purpose, and I'm beginning to see a picture of what I want to do and the
sure.
group of people that God's called me to reach and stuff, but nobody else was seeing it.
No.
In the church.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
the only
I hear
one
you.
That's seeing it, and it can be really frustrating.
Sounds like a pastor's job.
Excuse me.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and you're just kind of like, don't they see? You know, don't they understand? And you
Where's,
can't,
you know,
yeah, you can't.
Don't they
tell
have
them.
The same vision that I do? Don't they have the same just drive to run after this?
And exactly.
Right, you know,
but
and
you
then
have
they
a heart.
Don't.
Yeah, they don't.
It's okay.
But you have a heart to serve, so
right.
you serve where they're going to let you serve.
Sure.
So you end up in, you know, for 10 years,
kids
5 years.
Ministry.
Kids ministry.
I did kids ministry for 14 years at my last church.
Yep, kids ministry.
And I
ministry.
Did youth for 5, and then I was, you know, an usher, then I was a greeter, then I was the sound guy. You
exactly,
know.
Food pantry.
Anywhere.
Office, answering phones.
Yeah.
All of those things, but I can look back on those things now and see each one of those was
prepared
preparation
yes.
for the purpose
I love that.
And for the call. So if you're inactive, if you're not doing anything while you're waiting for that vision, that dream that you have, it's not going to happen.
Sure.
Because there's no training, there's no preparation going on. I felt that strong call to women's ministry.
Sure.
And I ended up teaching the 4 and 5 year olds.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking, what am I
well,
doing
so
here?
Half of them are going to grow up to be women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I was a real evangelist when I first got saved. I mean, I always have been. There's an evangelistic call on my life.
Right.
But when I was first saved, I was leading people to the Lord left
oh, yeah.
and right.
Sure.
Everywhere I
Me
went.
Me too.
Grocery stores, doctor's offices, it didn't matter. Family members, you know, everywhere I went.
And, you were just on fire.
Yeah, just on fire. And so that's where I thought God was going to use me in the church. But it was amazing that I would witness to these people, get them saved, but I'd never invite them to church. And I remember thinking one time, Lord, how come I don't invite them to church? You know, all these people and stuff. Now, I talk to them later, keep in touch, and they're all
sure,
going to church
sure.
somewhere, but they weren't going to East Coast. And
right.
he said, I'm protecting you from pride.
Ah,
and I thought, oh,
nice.
Okay. And so I stopped worrying about that kind of stuff. I don't know why I said that. Somebody might need to hear that. I don't
hey,
know.
It's all good.
Yeah, but it's just the truth. But anyway, I'll go back to thinking you're doing what has nothing to do with your call, but actually has everything to do with your call.
Yes.
And that was in the 4 and 5 year old class. These women, that's why I said that, these women would come in and step out of church and sit in the kids' classrooms. The kids are all playing, and they would just begin to unload on me.
Right.
You know, and these are women that I'm looking up to. They've been saved longer than me, so I'm thinking they're perfect Christian lives, you know, and they're broken women.
Yeah.
Just broke. And I would pray with them.
So you were doing women's
ministry. Yeah. And so it was training. But and my eyes were being opened to the hurting women in the church.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because they were in church, they weren't all perfect like I was thinking. Their lives were so perfect. And for a long time, I didn't even share my testimony with anybody in the church. I let them think I came in, you know, healed from cancer.
Sweet Polly, pure
heart,
right?
Yeah, yeah, because God, he took care of the cancer I had. Yeah. It disappeared.
Well, that's a fun part of the testimonies.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I was a crackhead.
But
yeah.
I didn't share that because I'm thinking these women are going to judge me.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, I begin to see the need for women's ministry, and the passion to pray with them and minister to them and love on them was growing through the 4 years I was stuck in there.
Yeah.
And then I was stuffing envelopes and answering phone calls.
Yeah.
And so one day I'm stuffing envelopes thinking, oh, I don't like doing this. This is so tedious.
It's like,
yeah. But the lady I'm talking to next to me had been, you know, believer for a long time.
Sure.
In the church before I even got there. And we're sitting there talking. Well, I don't know how it led into it, but I ended up sharing my testimony with her for the first time with another woman in the church. I'm talking about being a crackhead, you know, and God saving me out of that. And I mean, she began to cry.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, just, that's awesome. That's amazing. What a powerful testimony you have in that. And so all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, God can use this.
Yeah.
I don't have to be ashamed of who I was.
Because you're not that person
exactly
anymore.
You know, that person
remember
is dead.
Remember that, everybody.
Yes, and buried. And so,
you know, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word
of our testimony.
Yeah.
Yes, and I got a whole message on that in here.
Hey,
and
come on.
Yeah, so, you know, it was through those things that I'm beginning to open up, I'm beginning to share, I'm beginning to talk, I'm feeling better about myself.
Yeah.
The shame and the blame from my past is being washed away because I'm seeing God use that to help other people and restore
it's
them.
It's kind of worth it then.
Oh, yeah, it is. But that all started.
You see God use it.
Yeah, doing things that I thought had nothing to do with the call of God on my life.
Right.
While I'm waiting, because I've got a big vision.
Sure.
You know, God was giving me dreams and stuff, and I'm seeing this stuff. And
you know those are still true, right?
Amen. Amen. He's been reminding. That's part of the resurrection, which is something you heard before this message.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, I kind of wanted to talk about those things. What do we do?
Yeah.
We don't just sit and wait. We have to do something.
Well, I think what the key to that is, you know, expectancy.
Exactly.
What, like, I didn't go into those lines at the theme park expecting to just drag through this line. Woe is me. I'm just going to get there to finally ride my ride. No, I went with expectancy, and I wanted to tap into that power of expecting God to move in the midst of this two-hour wait that I have. I want to see you do something, God.
Right.
I want to see, even if it's just me joking around and bringing joy into somebody's life, or it could be a powerful moment of ministry. It doesn't matter. It's making connections with people. You know, as believers, I believe that God has created us to reproduce. We give birth not only to the natural, but also to things in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
So, you know, we've really got to look into that in our lives. And, you know, he's put vision on the inside of you and on the inside of me, on the inside of those who are listening. You know, like you said, you had these dreams. You have these moments where, you know, you're having visions and you're seeing yourself doing great and mighty things for God and him using your gifts and your talents. And, you know, we want God to fulfill his purpose, don't we, with our life?
Amen. And that's what we have to remember is, number one, the call and the purpose isn't about us anyway. It's all about him and the people he wants us to reach.
Right.
You know, it's not about our glory and our fame.
Nope.
It's about Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word? Are you expecting?
Yes. Are you expecting? As believers, we're created to reproduce.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
As human beings, we're created to reproduce. We give birth not only in the natural, but in the spiritual realm.
Right.
And God spoke to me through that when I was preparing a message for Women's Glow one time.
Sure, yeah.
He's placed on the inside of each one of us dreams and visions. He's given us gifts and talents to fulfill that purpose and call on our lives.
Yeah.
When you hear somebody say, I'm expecting,
yep.
what's the first thing you think of?
Right.
You think pregnant. You think they're pregnant. And a woman conceives and finds out she's expecting. The first thing she begins to do is prepare for that baby.
Oh, I know all about that.
Yeah,
I have
right?
four kids, my wife, man. She put me to work, man. The honey-do list started.
Oh, you know it, yeah.
Ready for that baby.
You're shopping. You're buying all the baby stuff. You're reading all the books you can get your hands
What's
on.
What to expect when you're expecting.
Exactly,
man. I think
we
all had a copy of that in our lives somewhere along
Each
the way, right?
Each stage, you begin to take better care of your health.
Yeah.
You know, you prepare
you're
physically.
You're not eating for you, just you anymore.
And yeah, and so you want to eat to be strong. Physically well, and you know, we have to do the same thing in our spiritual life. We got to eat that word,
right?
You know, fill ourselves with the word.
If you're expecting in the spirit, you've got to do it the same way. You've got to begin to prepare,
build yourself up.
That's a great analogy,
yeah. And let's see, she starts to eat for her baby's health. Let's see,
yep, start doing all the preparations.
Let's see.
So
I want to look over my notes here.
Yeah, no worries.
Tapping into the power of expectation and expectancy. And God began to show me that expectancy is like a magnet.
Sure.
Whatever you're expecting, you're going to draw to yourself.
And how many negative people have you ever met that are always expecting everything to go wrong?
I call it the Eeyore syndrome.
The Eeyores.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, come on, let's talk about that just for a second. I know you're trying to tap into an idea here, but what are you out there expecting to happen in your life, guys? What are you, how many of you guys are just believing for everything to go wrong all the time? You got to stop that. You got to stop that, and you got to let us tell you right now here what you need to do so that you can break out of those cycles.
Amen.
Because you're speaking death.
That's right.
A lot of you are speaking death over your life, and you're believing for garbage to happen to you. And you know what? God's got a better plan for you than that. So how do we tap into this power of expectation? Patty, tell us a little bit about that.
I'm going to read a scripture here. This is Isaiah 30. Let's see. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. And this is out of the Amplified. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. So not only are we expecting, but he's expecting great things in our lives. Let's see. Therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice.
I love that.
Are all those who are earnest, let's see, blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied, are those who earnestly wait for him. That sounds like a promise to me.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to read that again. He may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied are those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look for and long for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken compassion.
Yeah, you know, the first scripture that pops into my mind is that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So
Amen.
Are you expecting all these things that you just read off to be the heart of God in your life? Or do you see God as this big angry guy in the sky that's ready to club you and thwart you, you know, at the very first time you mess up and do that? Because I've been to a lot of different countries, and the expectation on false gods is that they're always demanding, you know, something from you so that they will not hurt you, so that they will not bring sickness into your life. So, I mean, I was in India one time, Patty, and they literally would stand on the ocean. They would stand on the beaches and throw flowers into the water, you know, afraid to even touch the water, many of them, because of tidal waves, you know.
Yeah.
And they would go there thinking, and they would pray to these false gods, believing that they're going to send this wave. It's going to wipe everybody out if they don't do exactly what they're supposed to do and pay homage or give, you know, flowers or anything to them. So I see this. And their expectation was on the negative side of what are these false gods going to do to us if we don't do what they want?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I love about Christianity is it's just the opposite. You know, we can expect our God to be a God of love, a God of grace, and a God of peace. And he's ready to bring good things into our lives. I think so many people have the wrong observation of God in their lives.
Yeah.
They think he's different than he is. You know, they don't understand him
and
because they don't
worthy,
know him.
You know, because they're looking at themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know what we've done.
Oh,
we know what sinners we are.
I know
are.
What I deserve.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also know Jesus took my punishment.
And that's where they don't have expectancy because they don't know, they don't understand what's theirs.
Yeah.
What's their inheritance? What's what promises
are
theirs? I know my sister used to always say to me, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. Look what God does in your life.
Right.
And I don't know why things just don't happen for me. And she had a real Eeyore syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And she would just always, it's not going to happen for me. And I'd try to give her the word. I'd try to be positive and I'd pray with her. And, you know, no, not for me. You're the one who is blessed. And, you know, I tried to tell her, I'm no more blessed than you are. God is no respecter of person.
Right.
He doesn't love me more than he loves you. The difference is I believe what he says.
Exactly.
And I'm expecting what he says to come to pass in my life.
Yeah, when he said by his stripes I was healed, I'm expecting that healing to come.
Amen.
And then through that expectancy, you saw that healing come when cancer just vanished from your body, you know? And for me as well, you know, I've been through sicknesses. I've been through financial hardships. I've been through struggles.
Yeah.
But even in the midst of losing everything that I had in bankruptcy in 07, losing $1 million in my life and getting all of my entire financial life and totally wiped out, I still expected God to bring me through it.
Come on.
I still expected God to
restore.
Recover. And you know what he did? He showed me the way out. He showed me the path to take for restoration.
Thank you, Jesus.
In my life. So I think it's powerful. And this whole idea of, you know, while we're waiting, you know, what is it that we do? We expect God to do something different, to bring change, to bring victory, to bring strength, to bring wisdom, whatever it is that we need in our lives. We have to believe by faith that God has already given us that. You know, when Jesus said it is finished at the cross, he meant it.
Yeah.
He's given us everything that we're ever going to get from him. At the cross, Jesus was it. He was, at that moment, you got everything that you would ever need. But see, the Bible teaches us that my people perish from a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
See, if we don't appropriate what we have, if we don't, in the waiting, believe God to do something different, then we're only going to get what we're believing for out of that situation.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's powerful to expect God to do something miraculous while you're in the waiting.
Yeah. And in your waiting and your expectancy, you prepare.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a quick break and come back and talk about this preparation.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. And the secret
Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, thanks to all of our sponsors that make Turn the Light On possible. We just love them and appreciate them so much. Patty, we've been talking about what to do while we're waiting, and we've been on this idea of tapping into the power of expectation. You know, when things are coming at us, when situations are tough, maybe even when things just don't seem like they're going the way that they should, you know, I think we really got to tap into this expectancy, and that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about that. You know, how do we... you know, prepare, you know, we talked about women and what you, when you say expecting, you know, it's kind of like a baby. So yeah. how do we do this?
Well, number one, you expect to go full term with that delivery,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
so nobody wants to think about, well, I'm going to abort this baby or lose this baby halfway
right.
in between or something. And we can do the same thing with our dreams, our purpose, our vision.
We
can abort those by not preparing, by not expecting,
right.
by waiting in complacency and just doing nothing. Mm. We are prolonging that
yeah.
thing and just dragging that thing out. And it may even just die and
right.
not make it if
right.
we're not doing our part.
Yeah, we've got to put that faith into it. We've got to stand with it.
Exactly. Faith is just like expectancy. It's it draws like a magnet. I
sure.
said earlier, like a
yeah.
magnet. That's what your faith is.
Well, faith can move mountains.
Yeah. And I was thinking when I was pregnant for Carrie and I found out, you know, that I had the tumor and the cancer and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember I didn't know the Lord at the time, but I had a confession that rose up day one. The doctor gave me the bad report.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there is no way God's taken me away from these babies and I will see my children and my children's children.
There you go.
Not even
I
knowing
like
I'm quoting scripture.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's one way. We can tap into the power
Absolutely.
Of it. You know, faith and expectancy, faith is now.
That's right.
You know?
You had to, in that now moment, you had to make that declaration of faith and go, God, you didn't even know God, but you're making a declaration. I will see
yeah.
my children's lives and my children's children's
faith.
Lives. You know,
yep.
and you've done that.
Power.
You know, and through great victory, God has brought you to where you are today, and me as well. I mean, I should not be here a couple of different times throughout my life, but God, through my faith and me believing in the midst of crazy chaos, has brought us to incredible places where we're here talking to you guys on the radio. So
yes.
we hope you enjoyed the program, each and every one of you. Tap into the power of expectation.
Yes.
And you know what? When you're waiting, wait with faith, believing
Amen.
For God to do incredible things. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a good day.
God bless.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.